Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time we can have in your word, and please help us to all be ready, empty us of the cares of this world that can come into our mind now, and clean us afresh with the blood of your Son, so that nothing will hinder what you want to do in our midst today. And may your word have its full course in each one of the lives that are represented here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a well-known passage, the vision of the dry bones, and it's rich in meaning. And by the way, I was really encouraged and fortified in my Christian walk personally. I mean, at the end of 2014, my personal devotions, I'm in the prophets, and I was reading Isaiah. I said, wow, that's a wonderful, wonderful book, full of Christ. And then Jeremiah, wow, and I was, again, you know, the Lord really stirred my heart. And in Ezekiel, you know, it didn't stop. It got even better. And, you know, and then now I'm finishing Hosea. But wow, I love the prophets. They were people, they were faithful. They were not successful, but they were faithful. Jeremiah, Ezekiel didn't have any converts. Nobody really, paid attention or heed their word. But they stayed faithful. And this passage can be applied either to someone who is not saved, that we'll see today, or also for Christian people. And I think there's some truth there that really will help us, everyone here, where we are in our Christian walk, or even outside of Christ. But first, before we see more in detail some things in the passage, I would just want to clear some things with the context. This is in the section of Ezekiel that is called the restoration section, from chapter 33 to 48, the end of the book. And it started with the gruesome news that the Jews received. Ezekiel is preaching in Babylon, and so they received the news that Jerusalem fell in the hands of the Babylonians. And so for the exiled, all their hopes were dashed to pieces. That's why in verse 11, at the end, it says,
It
says, behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope are lost. We are cut off our parts. So they really have lost hope, because, you know, for a Jew, Jerusalem is everything. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Do you know the song Jerusalem, Jerusalem? Yeah, and rightly so. They have a very special attachment to Jerusalem. This is where the temple of God is, where God dwells among His people. And you know the importance of Jerusalem. And that was now in the hands of the heathens, those who didn't care about God, and so their hope were gone. Was gone. But God is giving them here, in that whole section, oracles of hope, of restoration. God is telling them, you have been chastised now, you have the result of sin, but one day I'm going to restore you. So this is in this section. God is promising to restore them spiritually, that the nation will convert. Physically, they will go back in the land. Even politically, the Messiah will reign from Jerusalem. And even socially, the reuniting of the divided kingdoms, the north and the south. So it's a full restoration. When God does something, it's not a half-done job. It's a thorough job. So that's what He promised to do. And even though, by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and now the building of the church, this work started somehow, okay, with the Jews that can be, united with the heathen in the body of Christ. It is not fully accomplished yet, okay? the restoration of the nation and all the promises that we see in the prophets concerning the millennium, the reign of Christ, this is all yet to come. And all this being said, let me just remind you that because of all that, the state of mind, you know, knowing, you know, all those things, and so the state of mind of the exiled was at its lowest, and so they needed to see further. And just by way of application, sometimes we really come, you know, we touch rock bottom. I mean, we're at the end of ourselves, and God's Word has hope. Amen. That is what is wonderful. Of course, the Word of God will denounce sin. It will never excuse it. And you know, it will be straight to the point. You read the beginning of Ezekiel. He's not, you know, using a little pleasant word. He's going straight to the point. He's calling them idolaters because they were. And they rejected their God. But in God's grace also, we see that even with people that can be such, you know, hopeless people, there's hope. And so if you're here today, maybe in your Christian walk, you're disheartened by trials or by different things that are coming your way, or just, you know, the perishing of our other man. You know, we all face things of such nature, but we can rejoice because we have a living hope, and God is not done with us, and the best is yet to come. And don't even be discouraged if there seem to have no effect, no life brought out of your preaching of God's Word to your family, your dear ones, your people at work. Because like we'll see in a moment, God's Word is the solution, because God is the solution and He reveals Himself in His Word. And if you're here today and you're not yet a genuine Christian, you're not yet saved, you're outside of Christ, you heard of Him, you know about Him, but you don't know Him personally, that message also is your hope. Amen. You can be reconciled with God. You can know Him personally. The Bible says that we're dead in our trespasses and sin, but God can breathe the Spirit of life in you, and you can be quickened, become alive in Christ. So that's really a message of hope for those who have lost hope. So by the way, the message is the renewed hope. So let's just go into our text and look at two pressing needs to fulfill in order to have a renewed hope. Two pressing needs to fulfill in order to have a renewed hope. First, we need to faithfully preach His Word. That's what we see in verse 4 down through verse 8. And we read them already. But note that Ezekiel prophesied, and then the boat started gathering together. Okay, they were all apart, and, you know, God miraculously, or, you know, in that vision, you know, this is what He showed Ezekiel. He's putting all that together, and it forms a body. Okay? I call that the gathering effect of God's Word. Let me explain. We have scattered our lives because of sin. Sin has a scattering effect. You know, it brings disorder in our life. You know, God is a God of order. He has ordered things to be a certain way, but because of sin, we put that, I mean, we throw a wrench in the engrenage, how do you call that? I'm sorry. That's a French word that came to my mind. I don't know the English now. We throw a wrench where?
In the mix.
In the mix? Yeah. When we say engrenage, you know gears?
Yes.
Throw a wrench in the gears. Okay, anyway. I should have warned you. When you have a Frenchman coming, you got some weird things happen. So before, I should have warned you. So the gathering effect of God's Word counteracts that scattering effect of sin. You know, and somehow I believe we kind of touch on that this morning in Sunday school, you know, with our sinful bent, our sinful tendencies that are you know, scattering things apart, you know, breaking things apart in our life. And then God's Word can bring that together where it should be. And so the faithful preaching of God's Word reverses the scattering effect of sin by the gathering effect of the Word. And that's why, you know, when we got saved, everything makes sense. Said, wow, we see the light. Makes perfect sense. Why? Because God is bringing things back into order. And it's same thing for a wayward Christian that is going his way, and then, you know, maybe like in my case, you know, for a couple months, you know, then the Lord chastened that person, and after that, the person realized, you know, that's what I realized. I wanted to hang on to my garbages, but God has had a feast for me, a table set before me, and I was, you know, going into the garbages trying to have some leftover and things like that. He said, what are you doing here? And, you know, when I saw that, it made perfect sense. You know, God just put it all together. It's not because I'm bright. Don't worry, ask my wife. I'm not. But the Lord, really, with His Word, did that. And that's why the Bible says that the Word of God doesn't return void. Okay? By the way, when it says doesn't return void, there's two facets to that. Because, you know, when we preach the Word of God, it's not everybody that is saved. Doesn't mean that if you preach the Word of God, everybody's going to be saved or heed the Word of God. It doesn't return void where, okay, people can believe it, but they also can choose to reject it. In either case, it will create something. It will have an effect. Okay? So, rejoice and be comforted in the fact that when you respond in faith to the Word of God, it's not in vain. It will produce its effects. It will do something. It would put things together, back together where they should be. It would reorder your life. That's why it's so important for us to read the Bible, to be into it, to study it, to meditate it, to be men and women of the Word. Because we don't think properly. That's why the Bible talks about the renewing of our minds, the reordering of our mind, putting back our scattered minds together. Because not only we have sin, but because of sin, and we don't think the right way. You know, we're really screwed up with sin, basically, okay? So, even though a person doesn't listen to what we say, and, you know, doesn't heed to the words of God, we can say that we have done our watchman's duty. That is something also that is in Ezekiel, you know. We have to warn them. We have to tell them. So, we have really to be faithful in preaching the Word of God, proclaiming forth the truths of God, and then God will do His work with that. Okay? That's the gathering effect of God's Word. But let me hasten to say this. As greatly needful is God's Word and the preaching of God's Word, it's not enough. It's not enough. One can have all the pieces together, make perfect sense of the Bible, agree with it, yet be a lifeless body. That is, think about it. That is something. For those of you who have been raised in a Christian home, you are blessed beyond imagination. You know, I hope you're I was saved just at 23. My life is scarred with sin. You know, I'm not proud of it. I'm glad I'm saved. I just wish if it was before, that I would have a lot less problems now. But if you were raised in a Christian home, you were taught the things of God from a young age, and your life has a lot of order. And you appreciate the things of God. You know, it talks about that in Romans chapter 2 with the Jews that were approving of what is right. And, you know, it goes on to a list, but saying, yeah, but you that says to do that, you don't do it. You say not to rob, you rob. And, okay? And that is possible for someone to have a life in order to have the benefits of God's word, the gathering effect of God's word, but no life. In other words, not to be genuinely saved, not to have the life of God in him or her. And that is really what we see here. Look in verse 8. It says, "And I will fill..." Oh, wait. No, it's not. Turn the page, maybe. All right, it starts there down. "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. The breath of life of God's Spirit was not there." And maybe there are some people here like that. If you're here and you're appreciative of God's word, you know it's right. You even appreciate the Christian standards and the things that pertain to godliness. That doesn't guarantee you're a born-again child of God. Let me remind you that the Pharisees, the people in Jesus' day, they were the religious heroes. I mean, they were the top-notch religious people. They were sharp, but lifeless. Without Christ, they crucified him. And it's possible for someone here to have benefited from the Word of God and the order that it gives in someone's life, but yet be without that supernatural life that, eternal life is not something that lasts very long. It is something of a quality. When you have eternal life, you have something that you didn't have before. You have new desires. You don't think the same. You don't appreciate the things in the same way. That is the life of God. You are new creatures. Things are different. And so, make sure if you're here today that you just don't have one side of the story, which is very necessary, by the way, because if you want to have the life of God, you need to have God's word. But that's not the end. It goes further than that. The body has to have life in it, as it's well illustrated here. The Bible says that when we were yet without Christ, without Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. So it's possible to be appreciative of all the truths of God, yet being dead in our trespasses and sin. So that brings me to the most important need. Yes, we need to preach God's word, but secondly, we need to be faithful to pray God's word, or pray for the fulfillment of God's word. And that is in verse 9 and 10, when it says, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from forth, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, and an exceeding great army." So, here's a, doesn't really pray, he's prophesying. Yeah, but you know what? There's the image of the winds. You know, and in the Bible, the wind is a picture of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus in John chapter 3, he said, you know not where the wind comes from or where it goes. And said, and as it with the Spirit. Okay, so, and it's not the only passage. And I believe in that very passage, the wind is a figure for the Spirit of God, okay, the life-giving Spirit. And this is by prayer, okay? You know, we need to preach, and the Lord will use that, but we need to pray so it will come to full fruition, to really its full purpose. In other words, we need to achieve the process that I've been starting with God's, the preaching of God's word, by calling on to God to give life to the dead, to quicken those who are dead in their trespasses and sin. And Let me point out here that I think that we excel, or I mean we're good at preaching God's word and being faithful to God's word. And we ought to, and that's great. But we will never get to God's intended goal until we pray a Romans 10:1 kind of prayer. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is that they might be saved. Or as Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, where he was, the word is not striving, he was laboring intensely or laboring hard in prayer that those Christians in the city of Colossus, okay, would be complete. Okay? So that kind of prayer for lost and saints, that God will do what only Him can do. Give the life abounding to the Christians and the new life in Christ to those who don't know Him. This is by prayer that will happen. Okay? God will infuse that life to lifeless bodies or to life-quenching Christian, you know, those who quench the Spirit. God will do that in answer to prayer. So I'm asking you this morning, how is your prayer life in light of that truth? Are you standing in the gap like we see in chapter 22 and 30? And you know, that verse is a sad verse because God said, I was looking for a man who would stand in the gap, and He said, I find none. Can God find someone not only who preaches faithfully, who is faithful proclaiming the Word of God, but also praying the Word of God so that the life of God will have its effect on that dead body, on that gathered body, but still lifeless? And understand here, I'm not trying to make things man-centered here. Okay, it's not like it all depends on us. Okay, because, you know, I try to put a guilt trip, okay, do that. No. You know, we have our individual responsibility. You know, Ezekiel 33 is clear. We are watchmen. We have to warn people, okay? And the Bible says in Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou doest not. There is human instrumentality, of course. But you know, from beginning to end, that's all 100% of God anyway. Because it's not our word that we preach. It's His. And it's not our spirit that will do the work. It's His. So, you know, we are instrumental, but it's Him from beginning to end. So to Him be the glory. And, you know, it's for Him that we do that. It's not our kingdom we're building. It's His. Now I think that the reason that explains why we don't see much fruit or as much fruit as we can see with the preaching of God's word that is excellent, conference, tremendous preaching. I was challenged. I was rebuked. I was all kinds of things. And the Lord worked, and it really was in our midst. But I wonder what we have witnessed if really I'm glad. I'm sure there were prayer warriors, in their prayer closet, praying and seeking God to do something. But what if an army of prayer warriors? What really if a lot of people would have standing? I mean, this is just an example with the conference, but what would we see if really we would not only do part one, but part two in prayer? I think we are lacking there. Let's be honest. We're good to preach the word, to be faithful to the word, but we're weak in our prayer. I say that for myself. I mean, this is something really the Lord is working on my life. I'm asking, you know, I'm trying really to work on that by God's grace to become a man of prayer as much as I try to be a man of the word. And you think of it, that's really a balance in our life. You know, we need both. Because as we are in the word really brings us on our needs. Because it is so high. God is asking us so much. And, you know, it's so impossible. You know, when you read the Bible, it is so far from me. Yeah, that's why we need to pray. It's not complete until we pray. And really, that's the work of the Bible, to bring us on our knees and to see our dependence on God and our depravity and His grace and so on and so forth. So I think we ought to really be faithful to the preaching of God's Word, but we should not stop there. We need to pray for God's life to go into those gathered bones. And, you know, this is something, if you try to witness for the Lord, and personally in my witnessing in Quebec, I'm really aware of that, because I'm sure it's like that here, but I know to what extent and all that, but, you know, knocking on doors, witnessing to people, it is very hard to see how hard the people are. The hearts are cold, and I mean, in love, you tell them the truth that can save their soul. And there's no response, not even, there's indifference. The answer is indifference. No care for their soul. You know, the Bible says, no one cares for my soul. You know, the psalmist. But people don't care for even their souls. But you know what? That should give really us an incentive to encourage us to pray. Because you know what? I was that guy. I was that guy you preach to, you see, there's nothing. I mean, he's a hopeless case. Next, please. You know? But I believe that really it's by the prayer of God's people and also the faithfulness, the endurance of my friends to keep on preaching the word, but also I know he prayed, and you know, now you have been standing before you someone with the life of Christ. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, but God gave me life. And that is wonderful. That is the most wonderful thing that can happen. I'm telling you again, if you are not yet in Christ, if the life, supernatural life of Christ is not characterizing your life, I mean, if you don't have that delight in God's Word to be with God's people, you read 1 John, I mean, you walk in righteousness, you're not perfect, but you like it, you delight in that, that's your heart's desire. You like to be with God's people, you love them. And if this is not your case, if this is something like more that is put upon you, that you feel you have to do, it's not your pleasure, be honest with you, is the life of Christ in you for real? This is really what the Christian life is. It's not us. You know, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I've been killed with Christ, crucified, but I live. Why? Because it's not me, but by the faith of the Son of God, it's Christ that liveth in me. And this is so important to understand if you're not saved yet, but also as a Christian. We can be Christian that can be comfortable, starting to go through the motions, lose the spirit of things, lose the liveliness of things, the reality of the Christian life and walk. And we need to be stirred and quickened by the Spirit, even in our Christian walk. And just by way of application, I'm going to close with this. That's why we need so much your prayer, you know. I love that verse in Romans 15:30 you saw. You know, that God, I beseech you, brethren, that you strive with me in prayer. You know, it's asking, come alongside me and battle alongside with me. We need that. Please, you know, do that for your missionaries. That is the best thing you can do for them. And of course, they need money, and you know, and we're so grateful for the people who are sacrificing to help us being able to do what we're doing. But we all know we can all do that, and it can be to no avail without the Spirit of God, without the power of prayer. So, if you're here and you know it, you're a lifeless gathering of bones. If that's you, I just, this simple thing I say to you, stop relying on you, looking unto you. You have the benefits of God's Word, you appreciate it, but there's no life. It's dead inside. You know it. No hope. And if it's you today, I'm here to tell you that God's grace is wonderful. If you just call unto God for forgiveness, if you are here and you have the benefits of God's word, you know those things. You know, acknowledge we are sinners. We're separated from God on our way to hell without Christ. And that only Him can save us. If you call unto Him, God can change everything. And even if you're here and you're not familiar with the things of Christ, you can sit down and we can, with the open word of God, tell you how you can settle that once and for all and be alive in Christ. And dear Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe you need to come today to this altar and pray God to give you afresh that burden, not only to preach the word, but to pray the word, and also to live it out, to have that supernatural aspect in your life. So, either without Christ or with Christ, I encourage you to come. If the Lord is doing something in your heart, that I'm going to give over the invitation to Pastor McLean, but if you are here and the Lord has spoken to your heart and there is something He's showing you, please don't put it off till tomorrow. If the Lord is calling you today to do something with what you heard, do it. Thank you.